Hi, I'm Summer, and with our offices now reopened, I'm happy to be rejoining you with the World News Report for Tuesday, August 26, 2025, from a strictly conservative evangelical Christian perspective. Across the globe today, the facts are simple and the stakes are eternal. Nations are shaking, alliances are realigning, and the moral clarity of Scripture still explains what pundits cannot. We will cover Israel and the wider Middle East, the Trump-Putin summit and its ripple effects from Washington to Kiev, Europe's struggle to balance security and sovereignty, the knife-edge contest in the Indo-Pacific, and the struggles and revivals unfolding in Africa and the Americas. No varnish, no hedging, just clear reporting through a biblical lens that honors truth and defends life, liberty, and the gospel. Beginning in Israel and the Middle East. In Jerusalem, Israel's security cabinet met again today amid nationwide demonstrations demanding progress on freeing hostages and clarity on the next phase of operations in Gaza. Highways were blocked, tires burned, and tempers flared, yet the focus inside the cabinet remained steady: dismantle terror networks, restore deterrence, and bring captives home. On the ground, Israel has layered its defenses, Iron Dome, David's Sling, and Arrow, while rotating armor and engineering units along the northern frontier to blunt Hezbollah's rockets and drones. In the south, targeted raids, tunnel collapses, and interdiction of smuggling routes continue as the IDF works to separate civilians from militants and to keep humanitarian corridors open whenever tactically possible. Jerusalem's message is clear: compassion for civilians does not require surrender to those who use civilians as shields. Protests across Israel today blocked major roads as families of captives demanded action, even as the security cabinet convened to weigh Gaza operations and hostage diplomacy. Even as Israel investigates a deadly strike reported at a hospital compound in Khan Yunis, leaders are emphasizing the core ethical difference between an open democracy that puts its own soldiers at legal risk to save innocents and terror groups that hide in clinics, schools, and mosques. Israeli officials describe the double strike reported at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis as a tragic mishap under investigation, with international outlets reporting at least 20 fatalities, including journalists. Jerusalem vowed a full probe even as Hamas continued military activity nearby. Across the region, Arab states that once kept Israel at arm's length are increasingly pragmatic, reinforcing anti-drone defenses, coordinating maritime patrols, and sharing intelligence against Iran's proxies. Iran's Revolutionary Guard continues to push weapons and money to Hezbollah, militias in Syria and Iraq, and the Houthis in Yemen, but every shipment intercepted and every launcher destroyed reduces the reach of those who pledge Israel's destruction. Israel stands, not because the world approves, but because the God of Abraham keeps his promises, and a growing number of sober neighbors understand that a secure Israel undercuts the ambitions of Tehran. Next, we turn to the U.S. and Russian-Alaska summit aftermath, and the road to a just peace. 10 days after the Alaska summit between President Donald J. Trump and Vladimir Putin, the headlines are noisy, the spin is loud, and yet several hard facts remain. First, Russia's long-range strikes on Ukrainian infrastructure have not stopped. Second, Ukraine's air defenses and artillery still need steady resupply. Third, energy policy is security policy. And fourth, any deal that rewards invasion invites the next one. The U.S. position coming out of Anchorage stresses borders that mean something, verifiable drawdowns paired with snapback penalties, and clarity on cyber and space red lines, particularly against hospitals, power grids, and satellites that underpin civilian life. Kyiv insists on sovereignty, the return of deported children and prisoners, and guarantees that prevent a pause from becoming a prelude. NATO capitals want deterrence to emerge stronger, not weaker. That means munitions production lines in Europe must shift from boutique to bulk. Meanwhile, unleashing American energy and expanding LNG terminals would cut the Kremlin's leverage far more than any communique ever could. After the meeting, President Trump signaled frustration with continued Russian strikes, saying he was very angry at Putin as long-range barrages hit Ukraine despite peace efforts. The talks in Anchorage nonetheless kept channels open for a possible follow-on with Kyiv. Also here at home, border enforcement is becoming more proactive, layered surveillance, more immigration judges, and joint task forces taking down cartel logistics inside American cities. States are enacting parents' bills of rights to secure transparency in curricula, protect girls' sports, and anchor medical decisions to biology and conscience. The economy's backbone remains energy and manufacturing. Pipeline bottlenecks are clearing, refinery upgrades are advancing, and rigs are humming in states that welcome responsible production. Religious liberty protections for doctors, teachers, ministries, and small businesses continue to hold in courts, and in communities where prosecutors prosecute and judges apply the law, crime recedes and families breathe again. Freedom survives where order is honored and where truth can still be spoken in the public square. In Europe, war grinds, industrial wake-up, and a border reality check. Ukraine's struggle is increasingly a contest of magazines and radars, artillery tubes, counter-battery sensors, air defense interceptors, and the industrial capacity to keep them flowing month after month. European capitals are shifting from peacetime procurement to war sustainment tempo, opening shell lines, rebuilding armored repair depots, and stockpiling interceptors that keep families alive and factories powered. Energy strategy is sobering up. More LNG arrivals, reinforced interconnectors, and a return to nuclear baseloads so winter cannot be weaponized again. Voters are forcing a border reality check as well, tightening deportations for criminals, restoring asylum discipline, and investing in policing that protects citizens and the social fabric. Farmers continue to resist punitive regulations that ignore food security and the dignity of family farms. Stewardship is biblical, but central planning schemes that crush livelihoods are not. Europe's path forward balances forests and rivers with families and factories. Elsewhere in the Indo-Pacific, we're looking closely at deterrence in depth or coercion by default. Beijing continues gray zone coercion around Taiwan, maritime militia swarms, Coast Guard rammings, radar locks, and cyber probing designed to normalize the abnormal. The free world's answer is presence with purpose. Freedom of navigation patrols, joint exercises that stress logistics, reciprocal base access, and the hardening of everything that matters: fuel stores, runways, radar, ports, power grids, and undersea cables. Taiwan is accelerating asymmetric defense with mobile air defenses, dispersed launchers, and civil defense drills. Japan is investing in long-range fires and integrated air and missile defense. Australia deepens AUKUS. India expands maritime domain awareness and manufacturing ties that complicate any aggressor's calculus. North Korea fires missiles to stay relevant, but layered interceptors remain on station. Under the waterline of geopolitics lies silicon, fabs, lithography, rare gases, and advanced packaging. Control the chip stack and you control the future of industry and warfighting. Democracies are finally treating compute as critical infrastructure, onshoring capacity, protecting crown jewel IP, and tightening export rules on technologies that would arm authoritarians. In recent weeks, Taiwan has tracked multiple PLA incursions, dozens of aircraft crossing the median line and warships operating near its coasts, evidence of a pressure campaign calibrated to exhaust defenders and test responses. Meanwhile, in Africa, we have to examine conflict economies and courageous churches. In the Sahel, jihadist columns still move along old caravan routes, taxing traders, trafficking people, and looting mines. National armies fight village to village to keep families safe. Pastors preach in tents. Clinics run by believers treat the sick. Schools keep literacy alive, and evangelists risk everything to carry hope. In Nigeria's Middle Belt, congregations rebuild burned sanctuaries and return to worship under threat, testifying that fear will not have the last word. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, minerals essential to smartphones and electric vehicles are too often extracted at gunpoint and laundered through complex middlemen, a reminder that supply chains are moral chains. Even so, revival seeds are sprouting where least expected, and the gospel advances in the shadows. In Latin America, there is the realization that policy has consequences. Where leaders protect property, prosecute criminals, tame inflation, and unleash enterprise, hope rises. Where rulers centralize power, muzzle dissent, and debase currency, the poor pay twice, once at checkout, again in lost opportunity. Argentina is grinding through painful reforms to stabilize money and liberate entrepreneurs. Brazil wrestles crime and culture war even as agribusiness keeps the economy moving. Venezuela remains a parable of socialism's promise and pain as millions flee, while churches feed, teach, and heal when the state will not. Cuba and Nicaragua pressure pastors and shutter ministries. Still, congregations gather and the gospel advances. Weather, resilience, and human dignity are also newsworthy. Tropical Storm Fernan is weakening over the open Atlantic, and Juliet is churning over the Pacific far from land. Forecasters expect both systems to fade without coastal impact. Oil prices dipped after touching multi-week highs on supply concerns tied to attacks on Russian energy infrastructure and the possibility of additional U.S. sanctions. Markets remain volatile as traders weigh war risk and tariff threats alongside inventory data. Earthquakes rattled parts of New England and the Southeast in recent days, mostly minor, while Alaska registered a mid-magnitude shaker overnight. In all of these events, the lesson is the same. Preparedness is neighbor love with work gloves on. Churches that coordinate with first responders, gymnasiums opened as cooling centers before the heat turns deadly, and sandbags stacked before the river crests. And in technology, culture, life, and liberty. Artificial intelligence now accelerates both discovery and deception, designing medicines while counterfeiting voices, writing code while writing scams. The right response is prudence. Segment critical networks, backup data offline, drill a ransomware playbook, and train people to spot lures. In orbit, proliferated satellite constellations stitch continents together, yet debris, jamming, and anti-satellite tests threaten the commons. Use the tools to translate Bibles, reach the unreachable, and disciple at scale, and refuse to bow to a silicon idol promising immortality without repentance. The cultural level, the measure of a civilization is how it treats life at its most vulnerable and truth when it is least fashionable. Protecting unborn children while supporting mothers, adoption, and family formation is not a culture war. It is basic decency. Marriage as the union of man and woman is the design, not a relic. Telling the truth about male and female is kindness grounded in reality. Free speech and free exercise exist to protect the witness of conscience in the public square. Courage is contagious, one teacher, one doctor, one business at a time. My final word, the prophecy watch and convergence, not coincidence. Look at the board. Israel at the center, encircled by enemies who say out loud what previous generations only whispered. Great power tension rising, pestilences and earthquakes in various places, lawlessness celebrated as sophistication, love growing cold even as the gospel races through radio, fiber, and phones to the ends of the earth. We will not set dates. We will set our faces like flint. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the protection of Israeli civilians and soldiers. Pray for just conclusions to brutal wars, for leaders who fear God more than polls, for persecuted believers to be bold, and for revival that overflows kitchens, campuses, barracks, and boardrooms. When the nations rage, the king still reigns. Here are your action steps for today and what faithful citizens can do. Bless Israel in word and deed. Support ministries that rescue the vulnerable and disciple the next generation. Back the badge where justice is real. Reform what is broken with truth, not slogans. Build something tangible, a business that hires, a school that teaches, a clinic that heals, a church that plants churches. Shepherd your household. Guard the media diet, practice generosity, study the word, and be the first to show up when a neighbor's roof is gone. Hope loudly. Fear quietly. Pray constantly. This is the world. Not chaos without meaning but history under sovereignty. The nations rage, but the Lord reigns. Israel lives because the Lord keeps his word. Church advances because Christ himself is building it. Freedom survives where citizens fear God more than man and love truth more than comfort. Stay tuned to KRRBRevelationRadio.net for the only unfiltered and censored most truthful news reporting on the planet.